Unchurned is presented by Update AI.
But let's actually like remember the customer, what they're buying is actually not just the technology, but it's they're buying the experience. And that experience has to tie to your product really tightly. And that's why I hope that over time, product people say, wow, like part of my product is this team and this process, you know? It's not just the software. I think we got to get out of the world of purists. Like it's all about the customer. If we even think about our company's success, we're not doing a good job. I'm like, we all have jobs.
Yeah. And I want to keep it.
It's like nobody's doing charity work over here.
No, exactly.
Nick Mehta, how do you feel about the current state of customer success and how most organizations are putting us back under revenue again? What are your trends and what are you feeling about the state of customer success? There's a shit ton of consolidation. There's a shit ton of big movers coming in and buying people up and smashing things together. Where is it from your perspective?
Okay, can I go to the important
stuff?
Yeah, go,
Nick, go
what
to
are
real
you wearing?
Questions.
What are you wearing this pulse?
Oh, God.
You asked me that
last year. Last year, we all tried to guess that we saw you. I know you're not going to reveal.
Can I guess again? I give you a hint and you can do your guessing and I'm not going to react. The hint is the theme of Pulse this year is the 1980s. Is this like the beginning, one of those TV news stories where we're supposed to pretend to be talking to each other while the audio is playing?
Yeah, we're actually live.
I mean, usually we are talking to each other, but
we actually usually ignore the guests for like the first minute, and it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, so if you could just be quiet, Nick, just like give us like 10 minutes, off a little bit.
Nick already went into a power play, but you know
he
what?
Went into, he's like, he just
yeah,
left.
I mean, like Nick knows who he is, right? He's like, fuck that, I am talking first, guys. Nick, why don't you introduce us, please?
Yeah, exactly.
This ladies and gentlemen,
John and Christy. I think they do some work every now and then that would not being entertaining podcasters. I'm not sure.
Yeah, actually,
there's a good chance that we don't.
Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of Unchurned. I'm Josh. There's Christy. There's John. And as you all know now, we have Nick Mehta on the show. We're very excited about that. Yeah, woohoo. This is our like annual pre-Pulse get together, and we're really excited. Nick, by the way, we're actually, unlike other podcasts, we don't take like 2 weeks to air this thing. This is going to be out on Wednesday in 2 days, so we get a lot of like good intel for folks before they head out to St. Louis.
Aren't we supposed to pretend it's actually Wednesday? You just broke the cardinal rule of podcasting.
John breaks it every week. Yeah,
every time. I have no professionalism, Nick.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, this wasn't on the list, but your head is in the way, but you just moved momentarily and there was a big easel behind you that looked really interesting.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah,
I
covered up.
I know. We zoomed in for a second.
It was like mergers and acquisitions 2024.
Yeah, it's like literally our company strategy right there. Right there. You can't see it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you bring it forward a little bit? Let's like that's what we actually just want to run
dive
through.
Dive in.
Yeah.
It says, make better decisions on which podcast to join. That was number one on the list.
It's pretty typical.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, zing.
I mean, it was not related to you, obviously. Other
you knew better already, Nick. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Cool. Well, we're super excited to have you. We're super excited about Pulse. I'll be there. We're a sponsor this year, and that's awesome. Like, we're super pumped about that with Update.
Grateful for that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, my first question for you, Nick, is why'd you get kicked out of San Francisco?
That's why I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's funny because we've been in San Francisco for so many years and doing it most recently at Moscone Center. And it was awesome. San Francisco, amazing city. I live in Palo Alto, just south of San Francisco. But, you know, customer success is everywhere. And one of our original offices at Gainsight was in St. Louis. We're like, oh, it'd be fun to do it in the Midwest. So it's awesome. We have, you know, a few thousand people will be flying out. And, you know, it's not the easiest place to get to. So if you're coming out to St. Louis, you're committing to customer success. So it's going to be great. I'm really excited.
I actually think
by the way, it's also you're a bigger deal doing a tech conference in St. Louis than you are in St.
Yes.
Louis. Yeah, surprising. Yeah. I'm assuming it's going to be renamed St. Customer Success next week. That was my assumption.
St. Meta.
You say Meta. No, yeah, maybe St. Josh. I think that's all St. Christie.
Yeah.
When Taylor Swift did the first Eras tour stop in Phoenix, it was in Glendale, and they renamed the area Swift City for the day. So I'm thinking that's going to happen for us.
Nick, are you a Taylor Swift fan? Cool. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's really subtle, right?
I was going to say, Nick, we're all taking a shot every time you say Taylor Swift, and we're expected to be gone in the next 10 minutes. So,
easily. Yeah,
this was already part of it. We've got another bingo card, too, that we're not going to tell you about until the end.
No, but I'm going to start over. So I'm going to, without the talking points, Nick, why is it in St. Louis this year?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Everything I said.
That's it. Love it.
I love it.
Okay, cool.
I don't have talking points, people. I don't even read. I don't even look at what meeting I'm in right now. So
this is just a regular meeting. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Can I go to the important stuff?
Yeah. Go to real questions.
What are you wearing this pulse?
Oh God.
You asked him that last year.
Last year we all tried to guess. Then we saw you. I know you're not going to reveal.
Can I guess again? I give you a hint, and you can do your guessing, and I'm not going to react. The hint is the theme of Pulse this year is the 1980s.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know that. Okay.
So you're going to moonwalk on stage.
That would be very bad.
No. Listen, we were just talking about this with a friend of mine, all the different aesthetics that there were in the 80s, right? You can go like the gym, like unitard working out vibe. You can go 80s hip hop. You could go 80s rock. You can go 80s like preppy, like if you think about like the rich kids and all like those pretty Ralph pink Lauren movies like that. Yeah, like you have the jacket with the button down really open, big hair. Can you all be wearing the windbreaker outfits? Could you all be doing that?
That is a cool idea. That may or may not
like
be.
If you all just had that on, I think I would appreciate that aesthetic. Windbreaker.
That's a good idea. I like
neon windbreakers. Yeah.
Right. And maybe like fanny packs too, just like because tie it off.
Fanny packs every decade, Christy. Come on. That's
yeah, awesome. I actually just got a new one.
I mean, listen, I wear my John wore his fanny pack to New York and got robbed.
Yeah. I did. I still think Zendaya stole my wallet, guys.
Really?
Yeah. I'm fairly certain. Oh my gosh. I got stuck in New York last weekend.
Zendaya can do everything. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's so great at stealing my wallet and my IDs. And
was your wallet in your fanny pack?
Yes, and I took my phone out to take photos. Yes.
I mean, just realistically, you're like, let me take my wallet and put it as far away from my body as possible. And if you could just easily rip off. Who's the victim? Who's the villain here? I think it's you.
Yeah, I think it's me. No, but I did get some really great photos of Zendaya with other people that I'm very happy with. So I feel like the trade-off was.
Are you getting text from? Well, if you get your phone back, you're going to be getting text from like Tom Holland or something like that.
No. So him and I have been talking. Actually, hold on. Let me check. Yeah. He says, "Oh, I can't share that."
What does he think of customer success? What's Spider-Man think of customer success?
That's so funny. They're both so tiny, by the way. This is one thing that I did not realize. But I'm 6 foot, and she is like still little. So I actually kind of expected
little like me, John, or smaller.
No, Tom's little like you.
Okay. Tom Holland's shorter. Oh yeah, he is. I've seen.
Zendaya is a friggin' tree trunk. So
this is a pop culture podcast, right? Is that what we're doing, or is it?
Yeah. No, we're heavily into the BS.
Customer success
part.
In the wild.
Yeah, we're breaking down the Kendrick Lamar Drake thing, which I don't really know anything about yet. I have to read about it. So.
No, I just want. I want. I actually want more beef back. I don't know. Did you guys listen? Me, Josh, and I went to an emo concert in New York last weekend.
That's a
screamo band, and if you remember, if you were ever into kind of like that those days. They used to beef. All of these emo bands would like write songs about each other. And it was almost very similar to what hip hop is doing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, hip hop has always done it, you know.
Yeah.
But John,
it
was like, so are you suggesting that we bring this to customer success?
Yeah. I want to start a beef. And I mean,
start beef. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like the obvious beef is Nick Mehta against whatever the fuck is going on with Tatango and Catalyst. Like we just need.
I got no beef.
No. You let them beef. Internally, because they're doing their fine job there.
No,
like they don't need anybody else to beef with them. That's fine. Just let them play this out. That's okay.
Can we do like a HubSpot beef or something?
CEOs might be a ref.
Just watch. We're just gonna watch. We're gonna eat popcorn. We're gonna watch. We just let it do its thing. It's gonna.
It's like celebrity death match.
I love popcorn. It's so good.
Yeah. Exactly. Same. Yeah. Just here
for
the show.
So listen, I think 80s theme. I think Nick is going out there in a trench coat, no pants. With a stereo speaker above his head. It's going to be like the John Cusack Say Anything.
Okay. I was wondering where you're going
anything.
With this.
Yeah. Say anything.
Yeah.
You just didn't have to do the no pants.
I didn't have to. No.
Josh, that was because he was wearing pants. He was wearing shorts, right? He was wearing shorts.
Sorry. For people thinking about attending Pulse, I will be wearing pants. I want you to know I will be wearing pants.
And Nick, we should encourage everyone else to wear pants too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pants are a very good part of corporate culture. Yeah. Or anything that is covering your
covering marble. Coverage, yeah. Coverage. Coverage. We're just looking for coverage. Yeah, yeah.
Man, I feel like we got off track, guys.
Yeah. John, bring us back. Let's ask a CS question.
So, Nick, I'm curious. How are you feeling this year?
Pulse. About Pulse? Oh, my God.
Oh, no, no, wait. Sorry, Nick. Don't answer. Don't answer. What? Like we, John, we said we weren't going to ask like the lame. So the are you? Question. Yeah, like, what are you excited for? Polls?
Oh,
like,
customer success.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fine. Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to do it. Shut up, Josh. Okay, here we go. I got the question, Nick. It's written on a piece of paper right next to here, and it says, "Ask this question, Nick Mehta. How do you feel about the current state of customer success, and how most organizations are putting us back under revenue again? What are your trends and what are you feeling about the state of customer success? There's a shit ton of consolidation. There's a shit ton of big movers coming in and buying people up and smashing things together. Where is it from your perspective? Kind of the grandfather of what the fuck we're doing doing here. Like, you literally wrote the book on this. So I want to
literally, he wrote four books. Is the digital one the fourth book, Nick? Is that the fourth book?
Fifth book. No. I don't know. I think we're like a book publishing company now.
Yeah. No, but I want to hear where your brain is at on this, coming from the history and then what you're seeing moving into. Is that good enough for you, Josh?
I love it. Good, well done, John.
It was very long-winded though, John.
Yeah, that's typical for me.
I have to like try to figure out where the question was in that.
Time's up on our podcast now. Great seeing you.
Bye, guys.
But it's like what I'm going to talk about is it's not an easy time. Like being real for like 1 second. Are we allowed to be real on this podcast? Doesn't feel
like. Oh gosh, we only want people to be real, Nick.
It doesn't feel like that's part of the theme, but okay, let's be real. It's hard. Like you guys all know, like you see people, the hardest thing for me is just seeing like people getting laid off and looking for jobs. I'm sure you guys get, Chrissy, you do so much for the community and like you must get emails all the time like I do, people looking for work and you try to help them. And I kind of always look at a ratio of like number of people that have reached out to look for jobs in a week. A number of companies that have said, hey, I'm looking for somebody. And the good news is the ratio is getting a little better. It's not very scientific, but I get a lot of requests. So the last year, it might've been like in a week, I get like 20 emails from people looking for jobs and like maybe one company looking for a job. Now it's probably come back to like, you know, maybe 10 people reach out to me looking for jobs and two companies are hiring. So that's good. I think there's a little bit of a ramp up. So John, I think there's like a really tough last year for people and SaaS in general, not just customer success. It's just SaaS. SaaS is in a malaise right now, right? It's like that. Our theme is like the 80s and we like Breakfast Club and all that. And we're like, SaaS is in detention right now. It really is. Right. And so that's like, let's just be real. And it's hard. And it's everything from layoffs, people being asked to like deliver the same results with half the number of staff, right? You cut half your team, but by the way, you still have the same accountability on numbers. Customer expectations, I'm sure, I don't know about you guys, but like everywhere, it's like customers want another discount. They want to drop their licenses. They want to downsize their contract everywhere, right? Every company is dealing with this. So it's like the pressure from customers is higher. The pressure from your company is higher. You're worried about your own job. Like let's just be real. And on the flip side, the truth is it's still never been more important, like what we all do, like the business outcome of like retention. Good, positive thing. I'll share just a little anecdote. Once a year, Stanford Business School has a class on sales and they have me come in and do a day on customer success. And it's awesome because it's like nice to go to that because you get to see, despite all our challenges, they're all like, yeah, this is the future. All these like students in Stanford Business School are like super deep on customer success. And so I think part of the message is going to be, we're like in a low point. So we all know when you're in a low point, things do get better. But the thing I'm also saying is we can't just keep doing the same things and expect different results. Like I've done so many pulses where I'm like, it's all about the customer. We need to get everyone aligned around the customer. How come we're not more customer focused? And it doesn't work. Like that doesn't work at all. And so I think a couple of things, John, like, yes, there's a huge trend of CS being aligned to revenue. I don't think it's 100%. I see some people looking to have a separate CCO, but it's absolutely like the wind is shifting in that direction. And how do you make that work? How do you actually make, like, rather than complaining about it, how do you say, how do CS become more accountable for revenue? In some cases, you know, I know it's heretical, but some cases they should be having a quote.
I agree with you.
Wrong with sales, right? Like that sales is part of how a company runs. So that's one thing we'll talk about. Another thing obviously is like, you know, digital and AI, not just the buzzword aspect of it, but how they actually can help us get through the like budget challenge we have, efficiency and scale. We use this term, you're going to talk about a lot next week, human first AI. How do you use AI to make us all more human by taking all the rote work off of us? Because like Gainsight's, you know, maybe other companies as well, we're guilty party number one. you know, use Gainsight and you got to check this thing off and enter this field and add this thing and report to your boss. And nobody likes that stuff, right? And how do you get AI, human first AI, to help take that stuff off your plate and do the things you really love? And what's crazy is, like, you know, you guys are probably experimenting with it too. Actually, Josh obviously knows it very well.
And like, it's on his hat.
Josh, do you do any AI? Is that like, have you thought
about
that?
We're experimenting.
Okay, good. All right. It's cool. I'll send you the ChatGPT signup link. I get a referral credit if I send it through. But like, you know, you look at it and this stuff isn't perfect, but it's come a long way. And there's actually an ability to see a world. Like, one of the things I'd love to see is a couple of years from now, CSMs do no data entry whatsoever.
Amen.
Nothing. There's not, right? You know, what Josh is doing with updates, a good starting point for that, right? How do you eliminate data entry for CSMs? How do you eliminate the manual updates and give them more time? So there's sort of, part of it is acknowledge the reality. Part of it saying, if we're going to be more aligned to sales and revenue, make that a good thing, not a bad thing. And then versus being the purist, I think we got to get out of the world of purists. Like, it's all about the customer. If we even think about our company's success, we're not doing a good job. I'm like, we all have jobs.
Yeah. And I want to keep it.
It's like, nobody's doing charity work over here.
No, exactly.
No, I think this is one of the things though, Nick, and I actually, like, I have been really, really fighting this desire to be like, God, I actually want to be back under revenue. I think that's awesome. Kind of where maybe we lost it a little bit is the last 3 or 4 years, we were just so kind of unmoored, because it's like, well, what is your value? Oh, usage or clicks, or, hey, they like me, or we did this thing, or we did all of these check boxes. And you're like, yeah, but if we don't do that, the sales guys are still getting paid and the renewal guys are still getting upsells. I want growth. I want to own and prove that the relationships that I have built have led to more money for this company, because that's how, when I go into my review cycle for a promotion or raise, I say, I generated $800,000 last year. Yes. And it's because of me, and we can tie it back to me. And I think we lost a lot of stuff over the last few years, removing us from revenue. Not that the CCO model isn't great, Christy, RIP, but this idea that you are no longer
good at sales.
I know, but that's the thing, is you gotta have that perspective.
I would go to Gainsight and I would sell so much of it, Nick.
All right. Well, hey, we gotta have a conversation. Let's go. LFG.
Hey everybody, it's Josh. I'm taking a quick break from the podcast to tell you a bit about Update AI. I started Update AI to solve two major challenges for CS teams. The first is that we save CSMs 4 to 5 hours per week with our productivity through AI. Secondly, we give leaders a window into all the conversations across each account and the entire portfolio. So we help knowledge transfer, we help increase the coverage model of your CS teams, and we help you detect emerging patterns in what your customers are telling your CSMs across all the risks, product feedback, advocacy moments, and expansion opportunities. So come check us out at www.updateai. It's completely free to sign up and trial.
Hi, John, we interrupted you with our not meaningless banter there.
So, no, yeah. I'm already distracted.
I think we prefer the job negotiation between Christy and Nick right now.
Give me money.
No. We're talking about money, the revenue.
Please.
So like, but what I like about all that, about us owning revenue, is the accountability it drives.
Yes,
I feel like
exactly.
Everyone lost accountability.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, right? Think about salespeople. They are accountable because they have numbers and metrics and targets to hit. When you remove those from customer success, the accountability is gone. The work we do is different.
I 100% agree. And I think long-term, honestly, if you're in a career-wise, if you're like somebody starting your career, if you're not eventually associated with revenue in some way, like, and you can't tell people like, this is the metric I move, it's like, you're never going to move up. I mean, it'd be hard to keep your job, but even then, like, hard to move up in a company, right? You got to be associated with something that matters financially to the company. There's nothing wrong with that. That's kind of cool again, right? It's just like the metrics and what actually matters. And customer success, it's funny. I'm sure you feel this way, all three of you, like, the term is awesome in a way, because it is truly like a really encompassing term, but it's also so vague.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying we need to change the term, because it is what it is, right? And say, we didn't create Salesforce, really came up with this term. It's a great term, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like pretty vague. And I think a lot of people are like, what does it actually mean? I was talking to someone recently, actually, he's basically like COO, but he has CCO responsibilities too, at a company that makes government software. And they have their churn rate per year is like 2% or something like that, right? So he's like, you can't get people animated about churn, right? But they know that we need to do more stuff for customers, because in many cases, their clients didn't really like their software. They just were stuck with it. And, you know, we were talking about how can you position it to be more tangible around revenue? And in this case, around adoption, but not just success, right? Yeah. I think that's the challenge, is like customer success manager is the best and worst term in the world, right?
Yeah. No, it's funny, this idea of terminologies. Back when I was under a CRO before, when somebody asked me what I did, I was like, oh, revenue retention. Like,
right.
I make sure that, that was so simple to say that. And I was actually at a guitar center in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend. And I met this girl in the synth section, and were like,
you just want to drop out how cool you are, huh?
No. We were like talking about what we were doing. And I was just like talking around what I do, strategy and customers. And she was doing the same thing. And it turns out she's a recruiter in customer success, and I am in customer success. And we finally were like, I feel like something's broken here, right? Because like people still don't really know what this term is.
Yes,
and we don't know right. that other people know what this term is, right? It was like, oh. I say customer success and be like, oh, what does that mean? Right. And then you have to have that whole conversation.
Exactly. Can we change it? Nick, can we change it?
No, don't yeah, change totally. The title.
We'll just have to go on Google and change it everywhere.
Oh, yeah, if there's one person in the world that could
kind
that
of could replace
your sixth book, Nick.
It would be you, Nick. Yes. Can we write a book on this? Customer growth, customer renewal and expansion.
It's funny because I will say, joking aside, like I think it is hard to change because it became people's careers. Yeah. So I think it's more like we just have to make it mean what it needs to mean, right? And what it does mean in the heart of it, I think we just have been pretty poor at articulating as an industry what this actually means that a non-CSM Kool-Aid drinker would get. Like, I think that might be one of the problems we have is like Pulse is amazing, but it sort of leads to a bit of a, you know, illusion that everyone thinks this way. You know,
yeah.
or everyone uses this terminology. When I talk to CEOs, like improving customer lifetime value, retention, whatever, it's obvious. Like nobody's yeah. like, oh my God, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
They don't make that connection to why their CSM team is helping, right? That's right. what they miss. We haven't done a good job making that connection.
I like what you just said about lifetime value because, you know, coming from like a B2C and kind of marketing world, that is such an obvious term.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of this, the B2B world is so anti-terminologies from B2C. We have to separate ourselves so much. But that actually does tie in really nicely to what we do. We want to increase the lifetime value of every customer.
We increase lifetime value. 100%. That's like the job. And we help the company increase the lifetime value by like other people doing the right things too. Yeah. That's what we do. We just
But the problem is everyone's doing it differently at each company.
Yes.
Right? And so there becomes... Yeah. this challenge, because I mean, I don't know that I've spoken to three different people in customer success and had them describe the work that they're doing day in and day
out. Same.
And it looks, well, right. Nobody does it the same way. The focus is different. There is, again, varying degrees of accountability in the business and their contributions. So there is no, like the problem is that even if we standardize what the term means, we have to standardize the practice then too. I mean, look at sales. No one's sitting here with sales and marketing and all these other things and trying to figure out, like, even though it might look a little different from company to company, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nuances. Customer success doesn't have that. It's like every company is operating like it's an own universe.
I thought a lot about that over the years. You probably have too, Chrissy, where you want to standardize. And we all know there's not like a one size fits all. Cause obviously,
right.
Very different if you have $1 million customer versus $100,000 customer, selling into security versus selling a marketing tech application or whatever. Right. So I think we all agree there's some flavors of it. I think one other thing, though, I'd add in is when people use that analogy of, hey, sales is very similar, company, marketing similar. One thing to think about is, though, customer success, it's almost like it's part of the product. And the product is not similar company to company, right? The product at like Palo Alto Networks and Update.ai and OpenAI ChatGPT, they couldn't be more different. Right. And so I think there's part of it that's, let's standardize some of the practices, but let's actually like remember the customer, what they're buying is actually not just the technology, but it's they're buying the experience, and that experience has to tie to your product really tightly. And that's why I hope that over time product people say, wow, like part of my product is this team and this process. You know, it's not just the software. Nobody buys the software. Like they buy
the outcomes,
right? And you know, it's actually really interesting because like an example like is very tangible for people is OpenAI.
Yeah.
So, and actually we have an OpenAI CS leader who's going to be on stage at Pulse. And OpenAI has a big CSM team, or is growing CSM.
GTM, yeah.
Right. Well, GTM, but specifically a CSM team. So they have a GTM team and then within that CSM team. And it's funny because, you know, people say, oh, ChatGPT, why would you need a CSM? Like we all use it, right? Because they have a ChatGPT enterprise. And they want to get companies to change the way they work. So they use AI first. And that takes humans, right?
Yep.
And so I think in that example, to make ChatGPT work in a company, the product is the combination of the technology, which is mind-blowing, and the human beings that make that technology real, you know? And I'm sure, Josh, even update AI, right? It's very automated what y'all do, but you still have to change behavior, right? Or maybe yours doesn't require anything. You just like sign up and it starts generating revenue for you automatically, right? Is that how it works? I think we lost Josh for my joke. Okay.
That's right. He's the worst of us.
He's so we're good. About it. Hey, your internet upgrade.
He's very pensive. It's very pensive.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm back. I paid the internet bills. All right. We have time for one more question before Nick has to bounce.
Yes.
Christy, John, Rochambeau, like one question. Lob it up there for Nick.
Go, Christy. You have the one.
No, I was taking this a ton of different ways. We already kind of talked it.
I've got a BS question. You go.
Fine, go your BS first.
No, I just want to know how you got 20
less seconds now for Nick's response. Nick, ask your own question.
Yeah. Sphere is amazing. It's very, very privileged to be able to go. But if you get a chance to go,
Nick, what's the top priority for you? After Pulse, right? After Pulse, you like next day off. What then is the number one priority for you with Gainsight for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we always rank them, so it's probably no surprise. The number one thing for us right now is we call human first AI, the thing we're talking about, and just getting AI into every part of our product. And I think every company's doing this. It's like, how do you steer the ship so that everything you're doing is leveraging AI? It's not just about AI. And you know, when you're a company like Update.ai, you did that from the beginning, right? When you're coming at Gainsight or anyone that's been around, well, you have to kind of get every team and every part of your company to think, you can really do everything better with AI. So that's our number one. And number two is maybe getting a like big sign with my name on it for my Zoom background.
You definitely should, Nick. I highly recommend.
Chrissy has a person.
See, unlike you, Nick, not everyone knows my name. Everyone knows your name, but I have to remind them. So that's why I put it behind me and on my mic and on my necklace and everywhere else.
We've also got the tattoos too.
You have your own logo? Like,
I do. Yeah. Nick, I became a brand.
It's an enterprise. It's an enterprise. But Nick, I think... Yeah, I think people prefer to see your board meeting notes. I think you should keep that back.
I took a screenshot and we'll zoom in later, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
Bye, thanks, Nick. Good luck at Pulse.
Happy Pulse.
See ya. Bye.
Are we done? Are we recording? Are we staying on? Are we
ladies
talking
and gentlemen,
behind his back?
That was
we,
Nick like, Mehta. Yeah, we love him.
He was great. He rolls.
How are we going to
so
end
well.
This podcast, guys? Chrissy, I mean, are you going to Pulse or is Josh? Just Josh.
I can't go. I can't make it to St. Okay. Louis.
Yeah, I won't be there either.
I'm looking forward to going to St. Louis.
We have our company. We have our company offsite that same week. So we'll be ideating and spending time together.
That's awesome.
In the mountains of Utah.
Should we just do a
well, I'll be in Colorado.
Go. You're going to be at your son's graduation. Tell us.
Yeah,
tell us more.
So my eldest graduates from high school. He's 18 and taking on the world.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. We had a little happy tears when I got the invite and the announcements and stuff like that. So
that's super
pretty cool. Exciting. He's going to listen to this podcast. Love you, Connor.
does Connor listen to the podcast?
He does every time. Everyone.
Oh, really?
Now that I know that. I
know. I'll be nicer.
No. We're cool.
Well, you
he loves
nicer,
it.
I'll be meaner.
He's like, that Josh is a dick. I was like, yeah.
He is. I know. Okay.
But
he's also
a
little
inside.
Anemic.
Need to pinch your cheeks before we get you on camera, Josh.
For all the folks listening, Christy and John think I need a tan and they're right.
Yeah. But Josh, have fun at Pulse this week.
D.
Christy, the way that you said that was
at this
much.
Point we have no more listeners anyways. Nick left, people bounced. So we're good.
It's all good. But
we
no, have fun at Pulse.
I can't
wait to hear how it goes next week. Make sure that we get some time on the pod next week to get updates on that.
Yeah, I'll tag you, John.
Thanks, man. It's all about the views, baby.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week ahead.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.